So it's really important that we understand that the church, the believer, constantly, today as we're alive, we're going through fiery trials. Nothing to be compared with the flaming fire. They will punish the lost that reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior when Jesus returns again. It's going to be horrible. People don't even understand it.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. As we return to 1 Peter today, Roel will challenge us to keep our eternal future in mind as we go about our daily lives, recognizing that there will come a time when we will stand before God and give an account for our decisions. We'll learn today that the path of worldliness leads to regret, while living for God reaps heavenly rewards, and suffering for Christ brings honor to His name. Now, in the book of 1 Peter, here's Roel Reese.
We'll finish chapter 4 tonight. We'll pick it up in verse 17, but I want to start from chapter 4, verse 12, just to remind us what Peter is saying here. He's talking about the persecution that the Christians were facing in his own particular time in the first century. And what's incredible, he starts in verse 12, he says, "Beloved, do not think it strange or weird concerning the fiery trials which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God is resting upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified." And here's where he says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, he says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." And now we pick it up in verse 17. It's pretty cool the way Peter is bringing about and defining the persecution, the suffering that every Christian, true Christian, goes through. Nero had taken and blamed the fire of Rome, that the Christians are the ones that started the fire. So great persecution came where hundreds, thousands, millions were prosecuted, persecuted, and eventually were killed. And so it's really important that as we look at our own nation, we look at our own country today, and we look at what's happening all over the world today, we surely know that something is happening. It's not just in the church, it's outside of the church. It's really important that we understand as we look at our own nation, we look at our own country, that things are really happening really quickly. And as I began to read verse 17, it made even more sense, because now in the first observation here, or the first point here, is that how to prepare for the judgment to come. Now what most people don't understand is that Peter here is beginning to warn the people that were standing there. "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. If it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who did not obey the gospel of God?" He wants to make sure that we understand that we are Christians, and that when we die and we stand before God, we are going to stand before the Lord, because when we came to Christ, when we were alive and we were born again of the Holy Spirit, we were received by Jesus Christ, and He, through His blood, covered me from all of my sins fully, completely, and made me white. But then as a Christian, I receive, when I get to heaven, in every one of my works that I did in Christ Jesus is going to be refined or developed by the Lord. And it's going to be cast into the fire, firewood, hay, or stubble, whatever it may be, or silver. And whatever remains after the fire burns it, that will be your reward. And if there is no reward, the Bible says what? You'll be saved as by the fire. Why? Because you're a Christian. We're saved by God's grace, not by works. Amen. Not by works. And then it's important that we understand, because we know to hear that Peter's words begins to describe the lost. He says, them that obey not the gospel, the ungodly and the sinner. Now, the argument of this verse is clear. If God sends a fiery trial to his own children, which is who? You and I. And they are saved with difficulty. Then what will happen to the lost sinners when God's fiery judgment falls upon them, not only while they're here, but when they die? Think about that. This is what David's bringing up. That when a believer suffers, he experiences glory and knows exactly that there will be greater glory of the future to come as a child of the kingdom of God. Why? Because I'm a Christian. Believers will be judged when? At the Bema seat of Christ. In the book of Psalms 28:4, he says, give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve. Psalm 62:12. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. Proverbs 11:31. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? And then Romans 2:6, being in accordance with your hardness and your impatient heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his or her works. That's what the Bible teaches. 2 Corinthians 5:10, listen. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to that which was done, whether good or bad. Incredible. Every one of us here. Every Christian will stand at the Bema seat of Christ. Even though you receive Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior, you became a Christian. When you die and you stand before the Lord, you're going to be tested for the work and the works that you have done in Christ Jesus. Your Bible reading, your Bible studying, your giving to God, your witnessing, helping people. That attitude will be checked by God. And whatever is real and lasts through the fire, then you'll receive the reward by the Lord. But if there's nothing behind what you did and it burns up and nothing is left, you will be saved by the skin of your teeth. Why? Because salvation is the free gift of God. Read it. You'll blow your mind what he says. John, Peter, James, they all said the same thing. And here Peter wants us to understand, as he's talking here, again in verse 17, for the time has come for judgment, the Bema seat of Christ, to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, then what will be, notice, the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? They do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're done. It's going to be horrible. As sinners who causes that suffering is only filling up the measure of God's wrath more and more, they're going to be in the lake of fire eventually, the Bible says. If we would tonight go to hell and visit for 1 minute, you would never be the same person ever again. The screaming, the gnashing of teeth, the yelling, waiting for hell to be cast into the lake of fire and death, Antichrist, false prophet, and the books are going to be open, and then God's going to read, and whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. That's what the Bible teaches.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Don't forget, we're here to equip you with God's life-shaping Word. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for biblical resources. And join Raul for Straight Talk on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Let's continue now with more from Raul Reese and our study of 1 Peter.
So I think it's important that we understand what he's saying. Because look what he says again. And again, this is what he continues in 2 Thessalonians 1:7. He says, "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints," notice that's us, "and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." Notice what he's saying. We are coming back after the rapture of the church. We go to heaven, 7 years. Second coming, we come back. And what are we doing when we come back? We're going to stand and God is going to judge the world. The sheep from the lambs. Remember the goats. In his right hand and his left hand. Nobody will be able to go into the 1,000-year reign. Because after the church has taken out those that are saved in the last 7 years of world history, as they were being persecuted, they're going to go into hiding. Why? Because when you get the mark of the beast in the back of your right hand or your forehead, according to Revelation chapter 13, then you are done. And think about people that will be left behind that are carnal, trying to live when the Antichrist comes and makes peace and sets up the one world government and monetary system and says nobody can buy, nobody can sell, nobody can get an education, nobody can even go to church or do anything unless you have the mark in the back of your right hand or your forehead, 666. We're living in very dangerous days that people don't even see. And Peter is warning at this particular time the people that he's talking to because he's going to die. They're going to take Peter, they're going to arrest him, they're going to try him, and they're going to crucify him upside down. And he's going to die. With all those Christians that are thrown to the lion's den, that are crucified in tar and the lit on fire, their heads come off. Their children are eaten by lions. He says, listen, the Christian is going to be judged righteously, but then the non-believer is going to be judged too, and you're going to have to stand before God, and you will go into the lake of fire. Remember what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah? When you think of Lot, Abraham's nephew, he scarcely was saved. What does that mean? Saved with difficulty. He was in Sodom and Gomorrah. He decided, first of all, when he broke away from Abraham, Abraham said, okay, listen, we're going to break up because they were fighting together. You take the best place that you want of the land, and I'll wait until you choose. And he looked over to Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, I'll take this part of the land. He says, go ahead and take it. And the Bible says that he left Abraham, and he set camp far away from Sodom and Gomorrah. He set up his tent. That's the first thing. He lifted up his eyes and he looked. Second, he set the tent far away from Sodom and Gomorrah, but at the same time close enough to walk in and out of it. You know where the third step is? In Genesis chapter 19, you read. You find him moving into Sodom and Gomorrah. He's at the city gate and he is a judge for the city gates. And he has daughters. And the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 18 with Abraham interceding sends two angels into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they come in And they talk to Lot and they say, Lot, we came here and we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah tomorrow. He says, hey, why don't you guys stay with me tonight? I'll fix you a meal and then tomorrow you can go your way. Came into his house, he cooked up a meal for them, and all of a sudden there was a knocking on the door. They were beating on the door. And Lot opened the door and there was a homosexual community. Young and old men. And he came out and closed the door behind him and they said, hey, listen, we saw those two young guys going into your house, the angels. We want to come in. I want you to bring them out so that we can rape them and have them sexually. And he said, there's no possible way. I'll tell you what, they're my guests in my house, but I have two daughters. Notice what he did. Two daughters that I'll bring out and you guys can have. You can do whatever you want to them. He's compromised. He's a carnal person. The angels opened the door because they were going to kill Lot, pulled him by the back of the neck, pulled him inside, blinded the homosexuals, and they were so aggressive, they tried to break into the house. And the angels blinded them. The next morning, remember the angel says, get out of the country, get out of town. He was delaying his coming. He went to his son-in-laws and said, listen, God is going to destroy the city. You just got to get up and go. And they started laughing at him, mocking him. Why? Because his testimony stunk. They didn't believe him. And because of his carnality and because of his life that he was living of compromise, they did not believe. Guess what happened? They lost their lives in the city. And on his way out, as he delayed the coming, the angels pulled him out. The fire and the brimstone came down, remember? And his wife and his daughters, and his wife, it says, turned back to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. In the Hebrew, it says she looked back, but literally in the Hebrew says she was so attracted by Sodom and Gomorrah, she started walking back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And what did God do? Turn her into a pillar of salt. Pillar of salt. She wanted to go back. She was so attracted by the world. There are people like that today. So attracted by the world. That even though, man, we're living in the last days like Peter, and people are going through hell, through cancer, leukemia, and all these things, and even being tortured in other countries of the world. And all the signs are there before us. There are people still today that they don't believe that Jesus is coming for his church. They were living at the end of the age. Second point, how to make a right decision. Verse 18, look what he says. And now if the righteous one, notice, is scarcely saved. Notice what he's saying. If the righteous barely make it to heaven, barely make it to heaven, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? That's a proverb from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 31. He says, if the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? He quotes from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 31. Peter wants us to understand that no other significant truth, if believers have to suffer the judgment of God while on earth, if the righteous are scarcely saved, then what will happen to the ungodly and the sinner? Man, they're going to be tortured. Tormented day and night. That's what the Bible says. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 18? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. They know what's right, but they rebel against it. Watch this. Because, he says, what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became empty in their thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became stupid. Fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, birds, four-footed beasts, animals, and creeping things. Idolatry. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Watch this. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever and ever. So be it. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, lesbianism. Check this out. Likewise, also the men, leaving their natural use of women, burn in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of their error, which was due, homosexuality. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to their parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, they're not stupid, they know. What do? That those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same things, but they approve of those who practice them. Wow. It's really important that we understand that God is not unfair in what he says. Again, in Revelation chapter 21, 8, he says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, and sorcerers, which means those that take drugs, LSD, whatever drug you take, not aspirin, but whatever drug you take. He says what? Idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wow. Second death. Third point, verse 19. How to do God's will. Therefore, because of this, I just told you, let those, notice this, those that trust in Jesus Christ who suffer according to the will of God, do what? Commit their souls to Jesus Christ in doing good. Notice what he says. Literally, do what is right as to a faithful creator. Notice what he's saying. If we are truly going to go to heaven, then we got to do what's right. We can compromise. If you compromise, you're going to end up going to hell.
We hope you've been motivated today to live wholeheartedly for God without any compromises or sinful regrets. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson is available in its unedited form with much more teaching for a donation of $5 or more. To get a copy for yourself or for someone else, just call us at 800-634-9165 and mention today's study from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. We'd also like to tell you about this entire study of 1 Peter. This collection of 42 lessons is available on both CD and thumb drive. As you ponder God's faithfulness to walk with you through all of life's trials and temptations, you'll find that you can surrender your heart and your future to His care. You might encounter temptations or be called to endure suffering, but ultimately, you'll enjoy the eternal glories of heaven. Connect with us anytime at somebodylovesyou.com or call us at 800-634-9165 to order Raul's 42-part study of 1 Peter. We'll send you the USB drive for $42 or the CD set for $63. That's 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order this resource by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. This ministry is entirely listener-supported, and we are grateful for your tax-deductible donations. Thanks so much for your generous partnership. And thanks again for making us a part of your day today. It's always a great blessing to study the Word of God with you. We encourage you to join us again next time for more biblical wisdom to guide your steps in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus. Now, with the closing comment, here's Raul once again.
Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom came, your will be done. Hebrews 13:21, now may the God of peace who brought you up, the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Did you hear that? What is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever and ever. And then Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. Nobody will ever see God apart from holiness. Wow. Apart from holiness. Nobody will ever see God. We need to believe in Jesus Christ, in doing what's good, in keeping our souls and our hearts clean before God so that God can work in me and he can work through my life.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.